Dienstag ist Euro-Jackpot-Tag. Jetzt im Jackpot rund 98 Millionen Euro. Das Leben könnte so Jackpot sein. In jeder Lotto-Annahmestelle und auf lottobayern.de. Lotto Bayern, nimm dein Glück in die Hand.
Spielteilnahme ab 18, Chance auf den Höchstgewinn 1 zu 140 Millionen. Glücksspiel kann süchtig machen. Hilfe unter bzga.de.
Wir sind Theresa und
Nemo.
Und deshalb sind wir zu Shopify gewechselt.
Die Plattform, die wir vor Shopify verwendet haben, hat regelmäßig Updates gebraucht, die teilweise dazu geführt haben, dass der Shop nicht funktioniert hat.
Endlich macht unser Nemo-Boards-Shop dadurch auch auf den Mobilgeräten eine gute Figur. Und die Illustrationen auf den Boards kommen jetzt viel, viel klarer rüber, was uns ja auch wichtig ist und was unsere Marke auch ausmacht.
Starte deinen Test noch heute für 1 Euro pro Monat auf shopify.de/radio.
I won't tell you the exact location of the event, as what we did was highly illegal. And, on top of everything else, I don't need a police investigation coming my way. I would like to stress that our intentions were innocent. We really were only there for scientific research, all of which had been signed off, and we certainly meant no disrespect. Desecration was never on our agenda. But things don't always go to plan. Since the sunken wreck was a designated war grave, it is completely closed to tourism and other such morbid thrill seekers. Permission is required to study the wreck, and, even then, only from the outside. No living person is allowed inside that ship. I had been part of the project for some time, the purpose being to investigate the wreck and its overall condition, to see how it had been taken over by the sea, and, if possible, to determine the integrity of the ship itself. After all, there was still fuel in there, and if there were going to be any leaks, we needed to know. We had completely mapped the outside of the ship with sonar, and had had some success with small rovers that had been sent into the first two decks. We didn't expect to find too much in those floors, due to the sediment build-up, and the fact that oxygen levels were high enough to have destroyed anything organic that could be there. The pictures and videos we got back largely resembled a ship-shaped reef. Shellfish, plants, the odd fish. There was nothing tangible that suggested that humans had ever lived there, and only the square rooms and doorways gave it away. The lower decks, 3 and below, could be a different ballgame though. It was believed that the oxygen levels were lower down there, and there could possibly be less sediment too. Maybe we could find something more interesting. However, the first rovers we tried to send that low proved to be problematic, as we had to release the cables ourselves, and that made it difficult to get them out, as the wires had a tendency to get caught up. The solution to this was a new robot with a self-winding cable. Though piloted from above, this little guy travelled along under its own steam, winding and unwinding as necessary, and was much more reliable. An expensive, but very welcome addition to the team. Before the incident, we had sent the rover in on 2 occasions, and had made some decent headway. The video sent back was exciting. Clothes hanging on hooks that would never have survived on the upper decks, paper with writing still visible. It was the first time for most of us that this actually looked like a ship, rather than a strange museum where sailors had actually lived and died. We were in the control room, watching the screen. The rover was drifting slowly through what looked like a mess hall. We could make out the top of tables over the sediment which artificially raised the ship's floor. A few tables still had a few ceramic plates on them. Alan, the rover's driver, shook his head in wonder. "Crazy," he murmured. "You almost expect to see people sitting there, eating." Lena, in the chair next to him, gave a of agreement. Head rested on her hand as she watched the feed. "Just think," she said, "no one has seen this for 70 years. She looked up at me. "Do you think we're likely to see any remains, Jamie?" Generally, that was a subject we tried to avoid, but in these lower decks, it was a more pertinent question than on previous missions. "I doubt it," I said. "The sediment has probably buried anything that's left. And if we did find anything, we'd drift right on past. There was no document on the ship. We were there to document the ship, not bodies. On the screen, a doorway got closer. Lena looked down on the map on the desk in front of her. This corridor leads down one of the fuel tanks. There's also an officer's room to the side. Okay, I said. Alan, if you can get in there, take a quick look in the officer's room first. Get a sample of the sediment for Catherine. Then we'll go check the tank. Catherine was a biologist who was interested in what kind of life forms we might find in such a low oxygen environment. She appeared at that moment with a tray of tea for us all and grinned at me. You bring me stuff, I bring you stuff. She placed the tray down and looked at the screen. Nice. The rover moved gently through the doorway of the officer's room, its flashlight moving slowly over the contents inside. The tops of cupboards, a bed, a sink. Oh my goodness, gasped Catherine. Did you see that? The light reflected there. Is that a mirror? Alan moved closer to the sink and up. Catherine was right. There was a mirror hanging over the sink, and it was miraculously still clean enough, at least in some places, to see a reflection of our little robot. Take a look at yourself, buddy, grinned Alan. We all smiled at the image. And then, we all flinched. What was that? Said Lena. I wasn't sure, but it looked like either the flashlight had briefly turned off, or something had passed in front of it. I hesitated for a moment, but nothing else appeared on the screen. All right, Alan, I said. Let's get that sample and head to the tank. Alan nodded, and we watched the screen as a little metal arm appeared, holding a glass vial. It scooped up some of the sediment in the sink and then retracted. The rover turned slowly and began its journey back to the door. And then, with a jerk, it stopped moving. Alan moved the controls back and forth a few times, but nothing happened. He said. We checked the readings, and as far as we could tell, the rover was working fine. It was still receiving the signal, still trying to move, and the winding mechanism hadn't broke. It's caught on something, said Catherine despondently. After that, there was a lot of discussion. The law was clear. We couldn't go in after it. But my position is this, said Lena. Ethically, we're not doing anything wrong. We need that rover to investigate the ship and determine whether it's a danger to the surrounding environment, and if we lose this one, who knows when we'll get another. We're not here to kick up sediment and steal bones. We're not taking selfies and laughing at the dead. If we go in and get the bot, we'll be doing something illegal, but I don't believe we'll be doing anything wrong. I glanced at Alan. The look on his face made it very clear that, nervous about the consequences as he might be, he agreed with Lena. Also, he loved that little rover. Catherine cleared her throat. I would rather like my samples. She looked at me. But you're in charge here, Jamie. And if you decide that we just leave it, I won't make a fuss. I sighed, rubbed my face. This was a bad idea. Such a bad idea. If we got found out... But I wanted the rover back too. All right, I said. I'll go. You'll all stay up here. The fewer of us that do this, the better. I'll go straight in, unhook the bot from whatever's got it, and then get the hell out of there. We moved quickly. An unexpected visit wasn't particularly likely, but we were all on edge from the moment the decision was made, and wouldn't be calm until the rover was free and I'd returned to the surface. I suited up and dived into the water, swimming quickly down to the wreck. I followed the rover's cable down to the entry gap, and then hesitated. No one had been inside this ship, alive anyway, for 70 years, and now I was about to break that trend. I swam in. There was a frisson of excitement in my chest as I moved through the rooms of the upper deck, my flashlight illuminating the rooms as I passed through. Exhilaration from my own curiosity as a scientist, but also undoubtedly from doing something forbidden. looking at things with my own eyes that I wasn't supposed to be seeing. The temptation was with me, constantly, to leave the rover for just a little while and go explore on my own, but I reined it in. This was a dangerous place to be, both because of the consequences of what would happen if I was discovered down here, but also because it was an unknown environment, especially in the lower decks. I followed the rover's cable further down, squeezing through a gap that the robot had no problem with, and down onto the third deck. My heart pounded with excitement, and I couldn't deny that I would likely remember this as a highlight of my life, even if I could never tell anyone about it. Alan's voice came through over my radio. "Okay, Jamie, just a bit further to the mess hall, and then straight ahead." I gave a nod, even though he couldn't see me do so. "Good, good," he said. "Nearly there then, be over soon." I suspected his reassurances were for as much himself as me. I swam onwards through the hall, the gentle movement of my flippers causing the dust of the sediment to swirl lazily up behind me, and I kept my hand loosely wrapped around the cable in case my vision became obscured. I paused as I approached the officer's room. The fuel tank was just down the way. I could get there and back faster than the rover could. Would it be so bad if I just went and took a look? "Stop it," I told myself. "Free the rover, get out, damage limitation." I moved carefully into the room. The rover was just a few foot away from the sink, its light shining up at the ceiling. Whatever had caught it had caused it to tip backwards somewhat. I moved over to it and peered down. There appeared to be something wrapped around a metal arm on the bot, and as I reached down to remove it, I wondered what it could be and how it had become entangled so quickly. My visibility wasn't great, as I'd caused the sediment in here, undisturbed for so long, to swirl up around my face. I moved in a little closer, my hand trying to pry whatever the thing was from the rover. It was pale, and it felt stiff, almost like roots under my fingers. Gripping hard onto the metal as I pulled on it, I started to wonder if I would be able to remove it without a knife. And then, whatever it was, suddenly sprang open, and there was a perfect moment of clarity as my flashlight fell fully on the thing, the sediment in the air clearing just for a moment, allowing me for the first time to make out what had caught our rover. I don't remember most of my flight out of the ship. I swam faster than I ever had before, and the journey was just a flash of rooms and swirling sediment as I fled through the wreck. I kicked up to the first deck and out of the entry gap, my heart pounding as I pulled upwards, my lungs screaming with exertion until I broke the surface. I pulled the mask from my face, staring up at the sky, a moment to catch my breath, and then I made for the control rooms. Lena and Catherine were waiting for me on the deck. "What on earth happened?" asked Catherine, looking concerned. "You tore out of there like crazy." "Nothing," I gasped. "Nothing happened. I just panicked a little." Lena gave me a friendly pat on the back. "Well, good job anyway. You freed the rover and Alan is bringing it back now." I nodded, trying to slow my breathing. Lena helped me out of my diving suit, and once changed, I joined the others in the control room. We all watched the screen as the rover documented its return journey. "What was it caught on?" asked Alan, maneuvering the robot out of the entry hole. I hesitated for a moment. "Just some cloth, I think." Alan nodded, then glanced at the others. "No harm done, guys," he said. "So we keep this little adventure to ourselves, yeah?" Lena and Catherine agreed with enthusiasm. "Our little secret." I nodded, saying nothing. They didn't need to tell me not to talk about it. My illegal journey into a war grave where I wasn't supposed to be, to free a trapped rover. And the sight of the cold dead hand that had gripped it.